So let's use this special time together for our meditation. Again, relax. I invite you to close your eyes. Put your feet on the floor. And let's take our three big fellowship breaths together. In and ah. And with each breath, release even further, more deeply into your inner self. Right now, in this moment, let us bring ourselves back to center. To the place where divine love flows freely and easily. In this place of quiet and connection, there is no doubt that divine love, that God, that creative intelligence is right here, surrounding us and flowing through us as us into this world. And together in this energy of love in this room, let's lay down our struggle, our needing to find, to fix, our need to know, our pushing against, and our searching for more. Let this moment be enough. Let the breath we take be enough. And in your mind, I invite you to repeat after me, peace is all I know. I am whole. Peace is all I know. And the divine love within me is overflowing. And together we say, and so it is. Well, I spoke at Unity this morning, and so some of the people here today are getting a double dose of inner peace. Matt and Barbara, I think maybe that's all. Pardon? Lucille, of course. But when I think of how we, each of us, contribute to peace in the world, the first thing that comes to my mind is inner peace, each of our own inner peace within. And what is inner peace when we really think about it? Yes, it's sitting in the stillness, sitting in the quiet. It's being able to draw on the peace within when we most need it. But for me, it's so much more than that. It's being completely grounded in the awareness of divine love. There is only one. This is our truth. And when we can stay in that place of truth, the peace is always there to draw on. I want to read to you a wonderful quote by Thomas Merton. The whole Gandhian concept of nonviolent action is incomprehensible if it is thought to be a means to achieving unity, rather than the fruit of inner unity already achieved. And that's exactly how we start bringing peace into this world. Merton's quote speaks to the absolute futility of attempting to achieve unity within ourselves, within our relationships, within our families, within our community and our world, without that foundation, that connection of consciousness of oneness with God being all there is. When our inner being comes to rest in this unity, this is where the inner peace flows from, into this world as harmony and compassion and kindness. When I think of oneness, my mind goes immediately to Emily Cady and her one single phrase that stays in my mind always. She says, "See only with a single eye." There is only one. There is not God and anything else, no matter what we want to label it. There is not God and a relationship, God and another situation, God and illness, God and an empty purse, her words. There is only God. And when we see other than that, other than God, Julia, she says, that's a lie. I remember you saying that. When our eye is single, then our hearts are soft and gentle. And our love is pure. And peace just flows. A woman came up to me last night at the party that I'd never met before. And she said to me, "I've met two of the people here tonight, and I met them at totally different times, years apart. And with each of them, I felt loved." She said, she looked me in the eye and she said, "Not the romantic kind of love. Do you know what I mean?" And I said, "Yes, I absolutely know what you mean." She said, "You do?" "Yes, I do. I know exactly what you mean." And she said, "I've traveled all over this United States. I've met many, many people, and I have never felt that. That immediate love." And she said, "So why is that? Is it this place?" And I thought, "Well, yeah, you betcha." I said, "I believe it. I believe it is. It is not just this place, but what the fellowship is, who the fellowshipians are." We all believe that there is only one, and that one is divine love, and that includes you and me. And so when I look at you, when I interact with you, I interact from love with love. She said, "Well, what do you say to these people that causes this? What tenet of yours, which of these," she had our little card with the six principles, "which of these is it that they look at and get that?" And I said, it's all of it. It's the whole experience. It's the years of studying and thinking about these things and listening to talks and practicing. You know, I said, everyone that I know at the fellowship endeavors to live love every day. That's who we are. And then I invited her to come and visit. But she was just, she said, I feel it here. I feel it here. And we know that. We know that we can feel the presence of peace and love when we're talking with someone else, when we're in our own hearts and communing with divine source. We can feel that. But I was tearing up. I almost, you know, cried because it was, you know, such a beautiful testament to the fellowship and to the people who come here and to all of your dedication and commitment to living love. And here was somebody standing right before me who was feeling it. It was wonderful. But we know also that as our spirit selves try to navigate this complicated world through these human suits that we have on, it can be very easy to slip back into believing that our inner state, our inner peace, is dependent on the external world. Believing that something out here needs to be fixed or changed before we can experience true peace. A Course in Miracles tells us, though, nothing outside yourself can save you. Nothing outside yourself can give you peace. It's when we try to shape our world or the person that we're talking to, shape their views with our own ideas. My way is the right way. We hold the rest of the world to our wants and needs, to our shoulds and shouldn'ts. And we separate ourselves from each other and we build walls. Last week, I attended one of the classes in jail, one of the new classes, and most of you know I've taught classes in the jail myself for a good number of years, back some years. And this was called Restorative Justice. I came into the room, and the facilitator had created a circle of chairs. All the tables were pushed back, and that's pretty unusual for a jail class. They, you know, people are usually just kind of stay in their usual way of doing things. And so I thought, oh, how nice is this? And the men started coming in and filling in the chairs. And the facilitator was talking about restorative justice, approaching conflicts and problem solving with a restorative mindset. And this can be, for many of these men, an entirely new concept. Because many of them have grown up in a culture of reaction from many generations back. And they've grown up in a culture of retribution. If you hurt me, I'm hurting you, and I'll find a way to do it. If you hurt my family, you'll pay. And I heard that so many times when I was teaching. But in this circle, these young men, not all young, all ages really, were talking about feeling the connection of the circle, which was so cool. And they were talking about with each other, giving each other ideas about how each of them who was sharing could approach a problem or a conflict from a restorative mindset. How do we make this? How do we restore this situation? How do we restore this relationship? What role can I play in doing that instead of just saying, hey, it's your fault. You have to do something now to fix it. And it brought back many of the thoughts that I had over the 7 years that I was there myself, looking around that circle and seeing the incredible insight and wisdom in these men. And they are just searching for, how can I use this? How can I use it in my life? And I'm hoping that they find that in this class. It was really inspiring. And we all know what reaction looks like, right? We've had our own experience of reaction in a situation where we really didn't stop to think. We just spoke out, maybe yelled, maybe hurt someone's feelings. I noticed an example way on the serious end of the spectrum on Facebook this week, and maybe some of you saw it. There was a man leaving a subway car all dressed up in a suit. And as he left the car, there were people standing around. And all of a sudden, he turned around faster than you can even imagine and started beating this other gentleman that was standing next to him. And he beat him until he fell on the ground, and he still continued. And I thought, you know, wow, what could have incited that kind of reaction? And when the police interviewed the people who were bystanders, they all said the same thing. From our perspective, he just gave the guy a funny look. And that's all it took for him to react in that really aggressive, really crazy way. But it's our inner peace that can help us be a contributor to increasing the peaceful energy in this world. And while we are not on that end of the spectrum, our peaceful energy can be compromised by sometimes the subtlest negative energy. Whenever we just aren't feeling right, maybe we're tired, maybe we're not feeling well, maybe we're frustrated, we can lash out, we can hurt people's feelings, we can just understand that whatever that negativity is that we're feeling in that moment is not allowing the full force of love to flow into this world through us. It's getting stuck. We're creating obstacles to that loving energy. But when we can see with a single eye and stay grounded in our truth, all of the inner work that we do just comes organically. The results just come organically. How often do you take a class on forgiveness or breath work or whatever it is, and then you just jump right in? You know, you just, okay, what are the steps? How do I start? Let's do this. And Emily Cady would say, wait a minute. Let's step back, connect ourselves with this loving divine presence that we have access to always before we jump into it. Let's go there first. And then resting in that trust of our truth and surrendering to our truth, the experience of peace also comes organically. We don't have to strive or push or manipulate. Because immediately when we start doing those things, again, we're constricting, we're tightening down, we're saying, I got to do it, let's get this done, and we restrict the flow of love. I heard this gentleman a while back talking about this. He described it as this tension that we live in between what is and what we know could be or what we want to see happen. And we look in around our world today and we see a lot of chaos and not peacemaking, just the opposite. Division. And he said, I like to call this gap standing in the tragic gap of life. And of course, with our training here and with our knowledge here, I thought, well, yikes, I don't want to sign up for that. I don't want to say I'm going to be living in the tragic gap ever. Yeah. And so we know that the better course of action is to be firmly planted in the now, the what is. And the best way to do that, one of the closest things that we have to being loving and peaceful and accepting in our what is living and acknowledging and believing in your own good life. Believing that our lives are beautiful, that we have peace, that we have wonderful friends. This is where we are right now. And when we can be at peace there, then we can turn in the direction of what we would like to create, peace in the world, whatever else it is. And we can give our full attention to that. And we can garner all of the wisdom and the power and the forces within us, that God energy, and put that behind us as we look in that direction and see it as being done. See it as done. We take our mind completely off the problem and fix it on the solution. Now, this gentleman did have another comment to make that I totally, totally agreed with, and that is that he says, our inner work must be done in community. And I totally believe that. Our coming together every Sunday is community. And he said, when we only are within ourselves, isolated, if we only are hanging out or spending time with people who always agree with us, and they're always telling us how wonderful we are, then it's really hard to see where we need to stretch and what internal growth still needs to be done. When we're in diverse community, people rub you the wrong way. You get frustrated. Well, they should be doing this and they shouldn't be saying that. And in that moment, it's like, oh, yeah, there's my learning edge right there. There's my growth edge. It's not them, it's me. I believe Richard Rohr said this. I'm not positive, but he's a wonderful person to attribute it to. Right action in the world flows from inner unity and peace, flows from that unity and peace. And it's only from the unified perception of the heart that we can discuss what action is required to lovingly and effectively serve humanity. And I just want to conclude with this poem. It's not too long, but it's really wonderful, by Dr. Roger W. Teal. When I embrace my wounds and allow them to heal, I have no impulse to injure you. When I understand my desire to be lifted up, I refuse to tear you down. When I think rightly about myself, I need not make you wrong. And when my cry for love opens my own heart's doors, I no longer close you out. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you.